Okay, first of all, here we start with Avio Perugia, which is a medieval town in central Italy. And all the work I'm going to speak about has been done in collaboration with Apple Bayat and Sugato Bose of the University City College of London. What will be basically my attempt in this talk is to show that in particular condensed matter systems with impurity, it is possible to realize long distance independent long range entanglement, and it's possible eventually to engineer routers bringing entanglement to different users. Now, in effect, my talk will be at the intersection then between condensed matter and entanglement theory. And I will start with a short introduction to a characteristic system of condensed matter system, which I will call condo system, which have been called condo systems. The simplest way to think of a condo system, let's say, it is to think of a metal, for instance copper, in which you put in one point a magnetic impurity, for instance, an iron atom. Putting an impurity creates totally new physics. And that was what struck Kondo in the 60s. For instance, okay, the first non-intuitive phenomenon that you get in such a system is that by lowering the temperature, the resistivity first drops, like everybody expects, and then at some critical temperature, the resistivity goes up. Obviously, the behavior is counterintuitive, because as you lower the temperature, you should assume that the resistivity tends to go to zero, because of you are blocking thermal fluctuation. And this instance, okay, generated the stimulated curiosity of Kondo, who explained why there is this at a certain critical temperature, that after that has been called the Kondo temperature, there is a rise in the resistivity. And it's a typical non-perturbative phenomenon, as I will try to explain. Okay? So it cannot be reached with the usual perturbative approach to condensed matter system. So I will speak a little bit about Kondo systems and differentiate them from other systems, and then I will use Kondo system to generate long range, and as we will see, distance independent entanglement between two points very well separated in space. And then, okay, I will discuss the entanglement router, which motivated the title of this talk. No, okay, perfect. We are used to gap system, a gap system. In the following, I will refer basically to spin systems, but obviously what I say is more general. A gap system is characterized by a ground state which is separated by a certain gap from the excited state. Usually, okay, the presence of this gap in any energy will introduce a sort of a length which will then enter in the correlation function, which in a gap system have the typical exponential decay as the distance increase with the mass term 1 over xi. So the intrinsic length scale, which is built by a gap in a gap system, it is visible at the level of the correlators to this correlation exponential decay of the correlators. Gapless system, instead, is a system in which the gap in the thermodynamic limit does not exist. For a finite system, one usually has a ground state, and then a little bit up, there is a continuum, cioè a more dense set of states, excited states, and when the size of the system n goes to infinity, this gap tends to zero. So in a gapless system, there is no length scale because delta is equal to zero. And then when you are going to analyze correlators in a gap system, you will see typical power law decay, which is very common in physics. Now, these are the two conventional condensed matter systems that you consider when you want to distribute entanglement between distant users. But there is also a new kind of situation arising in a condensed matter system, which has been dubbed the Kondo system, in which, as I said before, okay, here you can imagine this point being electrons in a metal, for instance, copper, and an iron atom in the center, which is the magnetic impurity which is considered. Now, in a Kondo system, what happens is that intrinsically is generated a length, even if the system is gapless. Now, okay, this is the result. Honestly, to explain how this length is generated, okay, it requires by itself a lecture. What I will say here is that if there is the magnetic impurity, what happens is that a bunch of electrons from the conduction band in the metal separates to screen totally the impurity. So the spin of the impurity is not anymore seen by a huge bunch of the conduction electron, okay? This is not the usual screening, okay? Because it is exact, so these electrons kill the impurity. So the spin of the impurity, that is very pictorial, obviously. What happens, in effect, is that out of the conduction band, one electron separates itself and goes exactly to form a singlet with the impurity. So there is a pyrogen, there is this electron, and the impurity forming a singlet, and therefore a spin zero system. And so the spin of the impurity is not anymore seen by the other electron. But now, since the electron went to screen the spin of the impurity, due to Pauli exclusion principle, okay, all the other electrons have the information that they cannot go to the origin. So really, there is this screening, and then a change of boundary condition. The system can be represented in a very simple mathematical manner, for instance, by standard steps. This system of conduction electron with a magnetic impurity can be reduced to the one-dimensional problem of three massless electrons on the half sphere, because you use polar coordinates, and therefore you use the R coordinate, it goes between zero and infinity, with a boundary interaction with the impurity. This problem is a massless electron, so this is a massless problem. And even if it's massless, there is a length scale and an energy scale, which is self-consistently generated in this system, that makes it different from all the other massless systems in physics. Okay? And that, as we will see in the following, this is the feature of the Kondo system that we will use in our analysis of entanglement. We are in presence of a gapless system, which for some non-perturbative reason generates a length scale, which is not associated to any symmetry breaking. Okay? Now, yeah?
It forms a spin singlet between the impurity atom and...
One electron.
A single electron.
The other electrons which are inside this... So pictorially, the mechanism is one electron goes and forms a singlet with the impurity. At this moment, this electron is at the center with the impurity forming this spin zero complex. All the other electrons are affected non-perturbatively by this fact, because due to exclusion principle, they cannot hit the origin. So, basically, a Kondo system is characterized by having this singlet and then a change of the boundary condition. And the most elegant formulation of a Kondo system is within the context of boundary field theories. But okay, is going beyond the scope of this seminar, in which I want to use only this feature of a combo system, which is a gapless system in which a length scale is generated automatically, let's say automatically, without spontaneous stimuli breaking, and by means of non-perturbative phenomena. So, by the way, this sphere which I depicted is called pictorially the Kondo cloud, because it's the sphere that surrounds the point where the boundary condition
are reached. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So if it's just a conventional metal has a screening lamp, right? A device screening lamp.
Yeah.
Just because it's a charge system and a screening lamp. But there's no symmetry breaking either. There's no symmetry breaking either.
I know, but that's okay. That is a screening lamp. Here, the impurity is exactly a wrist. It becomes a spin zero system. So it's this, I use the word between comma exact screen. It's different than the by screen that is generic to all convex matter system. Okay?
Well, I don't know what you mean by exact, that presumably that lens.
What I mean is that, okay, one electron forms a singlet with the impurity, and therefore a spin zero. All the other electrons notice this fact by knowing that they cannot go to the origin.
Okay, what's the formal mathematical definition of this Kondo length scale psi k?
At this moment, the formal mathematical definition is obtained when you compute the beta function. Okay. And you see that practically the temperature of Kondo is the scale of energy at which the perturbative calculation of the beta function breaks down. And so you have to use non-perturbative methods. This system, okay, I don't want to go into that because that would be a series of lectures. This system is characterized by the fact that as a stable fixed point, not at lambda equal to zero, which is the weak coupling, but at lambda infinity. Okay, in a sense, it's what we are seeing here, if one does an accurate mathematical treatment, is a strong coupling and non-perturbative phenomenon at work. Okay? But honestly, I cannot go into the details of this combination. I just want to say that this is what is written in green, is the feature of a Kondo system, which I will use from now on. And CK is the what is called the Kondo screening length, which generates a Kondo cloud, which pictorially I represent this way. So, what I will try to see in the first part of the talk is to see if a measure of entanglement can detect the Kondo cloud, basically. So, okay, this is just a little bit of advertising, saying, okay, that the Kondo effect is not, is relevant for fundamental physics because it happens in metals, but is very much relevant also for technology because the Kondo effect is what operates in quantum dots and in other systems that I try to illustrate here. Here, I will introduce now a Kondo system, which has been introduced by Sorensen and Affleck and La Florenzi, which is a spin chain. N is the site of the chain, and is described by this Hamiltonian. In this Hamiltonian, you see that you have Heisenberg Hamiltonian with nearest neighbor interaction, nearest neighbor interaction J2. And then you have an impurity sitting at the origin. What I mean, an impurity is one spin which is connected with the rest of the chain, which a coupling which is usually smaller than the other one. So here, this spin is connected to this by J1 and J2, and then each one of them is reduced by a factor J prime. This is what I call a magnetic impurity, what has been called by Sorensen in Africa, magnetic impurity in spin chain. This spin chain has two regimes, one which are piloted by J2. So for this ratio bigger than a critical value, I have a gapless phase, which I call Kondo system. And for J2 over J1 bigger than this critical coupling, I have a dimmer phase. For J2 over J1 equal to 0.4, this is an exact resolvable spin system, which is the Majumdar-Ghoshi. Okay. Now, I take the impurity and I try to see if I can detect features of the Kondo effect, which is essentially the formation of the cloud, through a measurement of entanglement in this system. So I will take the spin chain that I introduced before. I will partition in two parts, A and B, one of length L, and another one of, obviously, of length N minus L minus 1. And I compute the entanglement between the impurity and the block. Since this is a, the system is in a mixed state, the measure of entanglement which I will use is negativity, and so I compute the negativity between this impurity and block B. Now, what I see? I see that I can have these three cases. For L is the size, as I said, of block A. For some L, lesser than a certain scale, I will see that the entanglement with impurity is bigger than zero, and therefore that, because of entanglement monogamy, the entanglement between the impurity and the block A, impurity is indicated by this S, is lesser than one. Then for L bigger than this length scale, I see that the entanglement between the spin and block B is zero, which means then that because of monogamy, that this entanglement between S and A is equal to one, and then there is this critical length, which I call XK, which is the length at which the impurity stops to be entangled with the B and is entangled only with the spin belonging to A. It's entangled, then this is entanglement is one. So this maximally entangled state is a singlet. Okay? So it is natural to attempt to interpret this critical length XK introduced through a measurement of entanglement as the Kondo length. Summary of numerical analysis. Yeah. Okay? This is summary of numerical analysis. You do this experiment that you can do for any spin chip. Okay? You partition in three blocks, take the impurity spin, and compute the entanglement between the impurity and block B. As the length of block B changes, from some point on, you will notice that this entanglement is zero. Okay? At that moment, it means obviously that the impurity is only entangled with block A. Okay? And since negativity is a measure of entanglement when you have a mixed state, when the entanglement is maximal, you can say that the S and A form a singlet. Okay? At this moment, I can call this CK entanglement dealing length. Basically, I can define it for any spin chain. Now, I can compute this entanglement healing length in both the Kondo phase, which is the gapless phase arising in this spin chain, and the dimmer phase, which is the gapless phase arising in this chain. What I notice is that in the gapless Kondo phase, the Kondo length is a function of L, CK, and N. But basically, it's an homogeneous function because it is a, depends only through of this, from these three variables, only through this duration. So when we say that in the entanglement, in the Kondo regime, it scales it satisfies a kind of scaling property. In the dimmer gap, the phase, although it's possible to define, as I said, the entanglement in length, there is not this homogeneous, this function is not an homogeneous function of this ratio. And this is dramatically evidenced here, cioè, in this plot set that we obtained with DMRG. For instance, let's see this plot. Here I take J2 is equal to zero. So the spin chain, J2 is the next to nearest neighbor term. So the spin chain that I am considering is an Heisenberg chain, so very easy, but it is in the Kondo regime. Then I compute the entanglement. Yeah? Yeah, at the sides. To the then what?
So is that small modification of what may be the coupling on the right and on the left?
No, here you see, I'm considering this, this spin chain defined on the half line. So there is the impurity is at the extreme, let's say, left of the chain. There is nothing on the right, okay? Okay? This is an important point. It can be in a source of confusion. The simplest Kondo model introduced with electrons, okay, in the example I did, it amounts to have a free massless Dirac equation on the half line with an important boundary interaction. In effect, that is the wrong effect. So the half line is important in this picture. It's okay, coming back here, I see that, analyzing this, this J prime is the impurity strength, is taken 0.44 and the J prime equal to 0.5. And I plot the entanglement as a function of L over N once I fix the ratio N over XK. Okay? You see that practically the two pictures coincide. Again, here we are in the Kondo regime, just at the critical point J2C equal to 0.24, so this is a Heisenberg chain with next to nearest neighbor interaction still in the upper space. J prime are two different values of the impurity. I compute the entanglement as a function of L over N, and I see that the two curves corresponding to this different values of J prime, they exactly coincide. I do the same experiment in the dimmer phase, therefore I take J2 very big, almost at Majumdar Ghosh point, and I compute the entanglement as a function of Ln once this ratio has been fixed to 4. For both the value of the impurity, J prime 0.4 and J prime 0.5. The two pictures are totally different. So this in effect shows that in the Kondo gapless regime, the entanglement is a function of these three variables through these ratios, while in the dimmer phase, the entanglement is just a pure phase function of three variables, which are. Now, the first plot here,
I assume if you used a different measure of entanglement, it wouldn't make any difference. You'd get
no. If it is a measure of entanglement, yes. Okay. If it is a here we are using negativity for this purpose.
Yes.
If it's, for instance, if since it's a mixed system, for Neumann entropy is not a. What?
Yeah. Go on.
Actually. Since we are analyzing a mixed state, the for Neumann entropy here is not a measure. Right?
Okay.
And so you may not see the same feature. This is just an indicator of the entanglement. Okay? Provided this is a measure of entanglement, we believe that you
so
have.
I'm just wondering how sensitive the results are to the choice of which measure of entanglement.
What?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, have you looked at the other measures of entanglement to see whether you get the same?
Yeah, not systematically, but we looked at if it's a measure of entanglement, we reproduce the same feature, but we do not publish. Now, I said before that the length xk, I can call for any spin system the entanglement healing length, okay? For a Kondo system, this entanglement healing length coincides with the Kondo length. And how do I see that coincides with the Kondo length? By seeing that Xk is a function of the impurity strength, and it's this dysfunction of the impurity strength. So Xk in the Kondo gapless regime, which is this blue, is this function of the J prime. In the Dimmer regime, there is CK, but is practically unrelated to the impurity strength, as you see from these flat plateaus that reproduce this picture. So, in a Kondo gapless space, if one does a measure of the entanglement healing length, one sees the Kondo length CK. Because the Kondo length CK, I repeat, is defined only to this scaling position. Now, let me use the entanglement in the Kondo regime to generate the entanglement in the Kondo phase to generate entanglement between two distant points. Now, the two distant points are obviously the impurity that I have at the origin and the rotate spin which I locate here. Now, the Hamiltonian is the one I described before, the impurity strength. The impurity is connected with the first spin by J1 term, with the second spin by J2, and then, okay, on the other spin is Heisenberg with next to nearest. Now, what I do, I do a quench, so I suddenly switch on an interaction between this spin and the chain. And I give a quench, this spin, by quenching it from zero to J prime, which is the value of the impurity strength that I have here. As a result, after the quench, the Hamiltonian is modified because there is not only the impurity at first sight, but also the impurity at last sight induced by the quench, and so the new Hamiltonian is H2. So I pick up the state of the Hamiltonian before the quench, and I let it evolve after the quench with the Hamiltonian quench system. And I practically, then, from numerically, here, okay, you use time-dependent BMRG. As usually, it happens that for systems up to 20, you can even get results from exact diagonalization. And then, okay, for systems which are bigger, you have to use this more sophisticated method. Anyway, we compute this evolution, and from this we get the reduced density matrix, and at the end we compute the concurrence between the first and the last spin. Now, the result is the following. In the Kondo regime, you will see something remarkable. The entanglement as a function of time is oscillatory. Oscillatory and reaches very high value, practically almost one, so the maximum can reach with a very well-defined period. If you do the same experiment, say quench and then computing the evolution and then the concurrence between the two spins, in the Dimmer regime, it is painted in red in this picture, you see that there is really no oscillatory behavior. The entanglement is much lower, and then, okay, for after a long time, rather long time, 40, tend to go to zero. Again, okay, here in this plot, we have entanglement as a function, maximal attained entanglement as a function of the distance, both in the Kondo regime and in the Dimmer gapped regime J2 equal to 0.32. You see, practically that case already, this numerical simulation shows that the entanglement between two spins in the Gondo regime can be achieved even if the two spins are very far away. And while in the dimmer regime, practically the entanglement goes to zero quite rapidly. And this picture gave us at the beginning the idea that in effect this curve tend to a constant, and therefore you have distance-independent entanglement between the two spins, and that I will prove it later. Then here we plot the time at which the maximal entanglement is reached in the Kondo regime, which is the blue, and in the dimmer regime. And there we see that the time in which the maximum entanglement is reached as a function of n is a linear function. And usually, okay, this reaching the maximum entanglement in the Kondo regime is a lot faster than in the dimmer regime, which is a desirable feature because, after all, if it's faster, maybe it's less sensitive to decoherence. And okay, here we in this picture we plot the optimal value of J prime, of the quant J prime, that we have to give to reach the maximal entanglement. And okay, again, you see that the optimal quant is much lower in the Kondo regime than in the dimmer regime, which means, okay, that to get this high entanglement in the Kondo regime requires injecting into the system less energy, because when you quench, you get injected. Pardon. Okay. Now, in this plot, Pardon.
What is this E in this? E
is the concurrence between the first and last spin as a function of time.
No, but in the second one, you just have E and N, you don't have.
What is E? Is the
maximum
entanglement reached in a chain of length A. So, in effect, it would be, for instance, this point here.
No? I see. And if you just did it in equilibrium, what would you find?
What?
What if you just found the equilibrium value of the entanglements?
We will analyze the depth shot. Okay. This is just a dynamic. At the moment, I'm presenting this dynamical construction through a quench dynamics. Now, this picture shows that there is a plot of the entanglement, which now is the concurrence between the first and last spin, as a function of J prime, which is the impurity strength. Okay. Now, you see that this function is fixed, meaning that okay, the entanglement is very much sensitive to J prime. And what if you compute the point of the peak, you will see that this entanglement is peaked when J prime is related to xi t through the Kondo scaling the relation between the Kondo length and the impurity strength, so that xi k is equal to n minus 2. Now, the chain is n minus 2 means that the optimal entanglement is reached practically when the Kondo crowd, is practically all the chain, arrives up to here. Okay? And anyway, that is not a problem because you can, given a chain of length n, you can always construct a Kondo cloud, which is equal to n minus 2. And this part is practically the reason why you can reach distance independent and time in these settings. Okay, that is what I just said. Then, okay, again, here I plot the maximal entanglement for chains of various length as a function of J2. Now, J2, remember, is the next to nearest neighbor cable, a coupling that let me pass from the Kondo gapless regime to the dimmer regime. And you see that practically assumed as the critical value of J2 is passed, the entanglement tend to decrease drastically in the dimmer regime, reaching zero already at 0.4, that is the exactly solvable Majumdar-Ghosh spin chain.
Can I ask, unless, though, yes. if I forgot about that rightmost part, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of difference between the condo and the dimer regime in the sense it looks like it goes right smoothly through.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
So there's, I'm not missing something.
No, no. But in effect, what is, no, you're not missing something, but the important thing that in all the condo regime, you have an high value of entanglement. As soon as you cross this line, the entanglement rather rapidly, I would say, decreases to zero. And if you want to go to do this computation, for instance, if you are a fan of exactly sort of Bohr model, in the Majumdar-Ghosh model, okay, you will find practically a zero result. So it will not be an interesting computation.
But that's at 0.24, right?
0.4, zero.
Oh, right.
Okay, so it's practically it's zero, the entanglement between these things. This is 0.2 is 0.25 is the critical value, 0.4 is this exactly
so. It was confused. Okay, so it's confused. So the Majumdar-Ghosh point is at 0.4. So on the right. Yeah. Okay. So it's solvable already in the dimer phase.
It's in dimer phase. It's a gap system. Exactly. Then you can compute the concurrence and you will find it.
Suppose if we consider Raja system, do you see if we consider Raja system, now you crank it down to the end.
You see, here, here we have N, the blue line is a short system, longer, we can go even longer. We can
yes, so my question is, do you think it somehow drops immediately if we consider the, you know, the much larger system?
Yes, it is faster, okay? As you see already, okay, the shorter is blue, the medium is red, and the longer is green.
No, but what if you go up to n equals 100 or n equals 1,000? What do you think would happen? I think
is I think will happen basically the same.
But maybe it'll get pushed it will be
more drastic.
So I'm wondering, maybe it gets pushed right up to the condo dimer boundary, right?
I guess that is also my guess. But in the condo regime, for sure, the end.
I don't understand why. Oh. So it goes to zero?
What?
So in the thermodynamic limit, right, when your chain goes to infinity, in the scale you're entangling with is also pushed to infinity, and so, and the dimer phase here has is a broken symmetry,
goes,
right?
And
so,
dimer phase goes to zero, quite rapidly. There is no reason to be entangled. Maybe we can understand it better if you let me go ahead, otherwise. We have not okay, here just a simple illustration, and I will not comment why there is an oscillatory dynamics in the condo regime. Because in the condo regime, once you have put the optimal J prime so as to have the cloud, meaning that there is this macroscopic singlet formed by practically all the chain. And then, okay, there is the cloud and the intuitive spin. It is quite simple, easy to realize that when you quench, you essentially tend to stimulate two states, the cloud and the other spin. What I said, when you quench into the dimer phase, since there is no condo cloud, many states are involved in the dynamics, and that is the reason why the dynamics is very regular. This specimen even goes to zero. And this can be made more rigorous, let's say, this analysis. And I will just comment briefly that, okay, in the condo regime, you have essentially dynamics of two states. By quenching a single bond, we quench the single bond locally, the bond at the end, we are putting energy into the system, and the amount of energy, if J prime is the quench, is given by this delta E. And so the optimal quench that you have to put is when you have that this delta E is equal to the energy split between the two relevant levels in the dynamics. So it's practically a resonance condition which will give rise to the oscillation you observed before. Now, here we are static generational entanglement, okay? You can generate entanglement between distant points also with no wedge dynamics. Okay? Let's pick up a generic system. Okay? What you usually do, generic system meaning, for instance, the condo in the gap and phase. Okay? In order to generate entanglement in the static strategy, let's say, one, the amount of entanglement that you can generate between the two extreme points, the two ending points, here and there, it increases when J prime goes to Z, basically. So one can easily show that J prime, if N is the size of the chain, this J prime, in order to generate an optimal entanglement, which is practically one, should be of order epsilon over square root of N. As N increase and this practically goes to zero, and therefore this gap and this energy scale contributes to the epsilon here contributes to the energy scale by this square of epsilon square. Now, this is to say that when I generate entanglement through a static strategy, since, okay, the maximal entanglement is reached when J prime is very small, this entanglement is really bound to be thermally unstable because, okay, basically, temperature in order to preserve the entanglement should be less than this quantity delta, that is epsilon squared, where epsilon is this smallness parameter over n. So for very long chain and very small epsilon, the temperature stability of the entanglement generated between the two ending points through a static strategy is basically very small. Now, in the dynamic strategy, things are different, because here we have the dynamic of entanglement in the condo regime. Now, the thermal state we got preparing for the Hamiltonian H1, which is the Hamiltonian of the condo system before the quench. Then we quench and evolve the density matrix rho th by the Hamiltonian, the new Hamiltonian, which is introduced also the contribution coming from the quenching of this impurity, compute the reduced density matrix and then the concurrence between the two. Now, the scale, the relevant scale in this system is practically the condo length, for what has been said. And in the quench dynamics, the condo length has been, in order to have the maximum, reaching the maximum entanglement, should be of order n minus 2. So you see that for the thermal stability is basically for the temperature such that Kt is lesser than this condo scale in the system and is equal to 1 over n minus 2. So one expects that the dynamical generation of entanglement between two ending speed in the condo regime is thermally a lot more stable than the static strategy in usual condensed matter system. And if you do the plot using always numerics, you see that this is indeed the case because the blue is obviously the entanglement generated through the dynamic quench dynamics that I discussed before. And this is the entanglement generated just by static coupling of two spins to the spin chain. So dynamical strategy is more resistive than the static one to thermal effects. Okay, but now this I will skip anyway, this part. Can we get higher entanglement, and can we root entanglement using condo physics? That will be the last question I will try to answer. And the answer obviously is yes. Let's do a simple system. Let's analyze a simple system that I can solve, even I can solve analytically. I have two singlets, sigma 1, sigma 2 with coupling JL, sigma 3, sigma 4 with coupling JR, and then, okay, let me have all the slides. I quench the interaction between these two quench GM, So I create an interaction between the two singlets. Now, the initial state is the initial state of the two singlets, and then the evolved state is the evolved of psi zero with the Hamiltonian of the quench system. Obviously, psi zero is not an eigenstate of the quenched Hamiltonian, and that is what it gives you, non-trivial dynamics. And then I ask the following question. I want to compute the entanglement between the boundary spins. Okay, so I compute the concurrence between spin 1 and spin 4. In this system, I can do it exactly, and I can ask the question, obviously, what is the value of, what is the optimal quench I have to give to the system in order to get maximal entanglement between spin 1 and 4. Now, one can show that the optimal quench is obtained when Jm is practically equal to the sum of J, of the two coupling, J prime L and J prime right. And then, okay, from the dynamical evolution that here can be done exactly with non-numerics, one can compute the concurrence between the spin 1 and spin 4 and finding this result. Now, this is quite interesting because one will see immediately that this concurrence is a periodic function with a period which is related to Jm, and each period, okay, it reaches maximal entanglement 1, and okay, so these are the features which I see in this simplified example. Now, I ask the following question. And it is a rhetorical question, because the answer is yes. So if I can find extended singlet where I can reproduce the same physics that I analyze in this simple model. The answer is yes, if I take as an extended singlet impurity with its condo cloud. And the fact, okay, we have seen before that, okay, in the quench dynamics, the optimal entanglement is generated with a proper tuning of the impurity spin, and the system we now consider is just two condo chains, one on the right and another one on the left, each one coupled with the impurity spin. The value of the impurity spin is set so as to generate a condo cloud, which is practically extend over all the chain, and then, okay, generate a quench. I quench the interaction between the last spin of the first condo chain and the first spin of the second condo chain by a quantity Jm. And let evolve the system according to the quench Hamiltonian, and at the end I'm going to compute again the concurrence between the initial and the final spin E1n. The result, obviously, in this case, okay, we are unable to solve it analytically, so we have to use the DMRG, density matrix normalization group, time dependent. The result we find is the following. If I compute the concurrence as a function of time, you see again a very marked oscillatory behavior with a very defined period, and also, you see that this entanglement, the maximal entanglement that you achieve for in this experiment as a function of n is again very big and tend to a constant value when the chain is bigger, and that the period, let's say, the period at which the entanglement reaches its maxima, the time therefore needed for the entanglement to reach its maximum is a function which is linear in n, like in the example that I analyzed before of the single quench. Okay. This seems, which I don't think that I have to comment, because now this relation proves basically that as a result of the scaling laws which are active in the condo regime, one can easily explain and account for distance independent entanglement between the two ending speeds. Because, okay, I said in previous transparencies that the entanglement as a function of Tn and J prime depends on this three variable in the Kondo regime only through this ratio. And that was one of the first things that I showed. Now, the optimal entanglement, the maximal entanglement between the two, is reached when the Kondo length is fixed to be equal to n equal to 2, minus 2, for what we have seen before. So you see that as a result of this and the other fact, I get this ratio. As n goes to infinity, since t depends linearly with n, this goes to a constant, and so does this. And so you have this distance independent entanglement, basically easily to prove due to the scaling operating in the Kondo regime. Of course, since no one of this tradition is true in the dimmer phase, or is true in any other condensed matter system which does not belong to the Kondo category, you there you cannot have distance independent entanglement because, okay, you don't have, I would say, the Kondo clouds. This is just some comments, and the comment here are the thing I want to say. So here I'm trying to estimate the optimal value of the quench in the case of the two extended singlet. Well, the scaling operating in the Kondo regime allows me to make this answer, to say that the JM in the case of the two singlet was simply the sum of J prime L and J prime R. Now, since we have a many body system, okay, I put a correction factor depending on n. And due to the scaling operating in the Kondo regime and to the requirement that honestly the quenching should be, for n going to infinity, should be a finite quantity because I have either to give, to give zero energy or infinite energy to the system that does not make any sense, I can derive this expression for the coefficient phi n. Now, if I compare the result from numerics with our Kondo-based estimate of the factor phi n, you see that the agreement is perfect. Just really, phi n as a function of log squared n over 2 is a linear function, like it is expected from scaling in the Kondo regime. Now, this is the most dramatic thing. Okay, it is stable, shows clearly the advantage for the entanglement between distant spin of using a Kondo chain. Because, okay, here we have, we do this quench experiment between extended singlet, we can do it no matter which, what spin system. And for instance, we can do it for the J1, J2 chain in the Kondo regime and in the dimmer regime. Now, K is Kondo and D is dimmer. EM is maximum entanglement. And it is as a function of the number of sides of the chain. So you see that the maximum entanglement in the Kondo regime for a chain of 40 is 0.8. If I do the same experiment in the dimmer regime, so in the generic gap and phase, while at, for very small chain, okay, there is really no appreciable variation, eh? But for chain of 40, the entanglement is 0.1. So it's several order of magnitude lower than the one achievable in the gapless form. The time needed to reach the maximal entanglement in the Kondo and dimmer phase is also very different. Because to reach this high entanglement of 0.8, you need 9.8 units of time. But to reach this miserable entanglement in the dimmer regime, you need 35 units of time. So it's not even, it's not only smaller, but also slower, and therefore more sensitive to the coherence effect, in a way. Okay. Now, okay, I said, I promised at the beginning the routers. How do you do a router with this kind of physics? Simple. You take four Kondo chain. Can be any distance. Yeah? Okay, can be n, can be very big. And here you have dispatching center, And these are the four spins that you want to entangle. So what you do? So if I want to entangle spin A and spin B in the dispatch center by means of a local operation, I just quench with the optimal quench that I computed before the interaction between this chain and this chain. As a result of the quench dynamics, I can generate dynamically an I entanglement, practically one, independent, very high, no matter how long I chain, between the spin A and B. And so, okay, if I want instead to connect B and C, I will quench this interaction and so on. And this is a router which, in order to be activated, is only local operation are needed in the and the entanglement can be routed very fast and therefore it's quite robust respect to the coherence. So basically, I wanted to convince you of the following fact, that using measure of entanglement, one can capture some properties of the Kondo physics, for instance, can define the Kondo length through a measure of entanglement, because we proved at the beginning that the the entanglement healing length coincides with Kondo length because it satisfies the same scaling property that Kondo length does. That, secondly, okay, so all the analysis shows that in the Kondo regime, the Kondo cloud plays an important role because it's a sort of a mediator of the entanglement between the two external spins. So through the quench dynamics, practically, okay, one is transforming the useless entanglement that is between the Kondo cloud and the impurity spin into useful entanglement that you measure between the two ending spins. And so in the sense, okay, this Kondo length is a mediator of this entanglement, and that, okay, that this mechanism of dynamical generation of entanglement is rather versatile and, for instance, can be applied to the engineering of routers using Kondo systems. Okay, I finish here.
So in that entanglement router thing you had, whatever it is, a couple of slides ago, that one, yeah. Can you use that to entangle, get tripartite entanglement or more? Like it sounded like you can only do, you can do A and B or you can do B and C or something, but could you do A, B, C triply entangled?
Yeah, that I don't know, we did not try.
For sure. It seems to me it's thinkable, isn't it?
It's thinkable, yes. But we did not try, so we don't have such, I cannot say anything definite.
But you don't see any obvious obstruction to
No. No. Thank you, very good suggestion.
So I can see the entanglement is very interesting from a quantum computing point of view. But suppose we're just looking at some sort of diagnostic or picking up the Kondo cloud or something like that. So if you go to your conclusion, to the summary, I think you said one can capture the properties of the Kondo physics using entanglement measure.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, suppose instead of using entanglement measure, you just use some correlation measure. Would that do, have you compared that? Would that capture these properties as well, or is it worse?
No,
or
is honestly, that's not too so well.
Does not do as well.
And then when that was something that struck also our attention, and entanglement does a lot better because it by defining the entanglement dealing length, one in a Kondo, the entanglement dealing length can be defined in any system provided you have a measure of entanglement. Now, in the Kondo regime, you see that that length scales with the impurity.
Yeah.
Just as the Kondo screening length does in a real Kondo system. So, in the Kondo regime, the entanglement healing length and the Kondo cloud length are equal. Because the Kondo length, Kondo screening length is defined only through the scaling with the J prime. So, okay, the answer to your question is that we saw also with correlation, and with correlation is not so neat like it is with entanglement measure.
You mean the correlation does not show the scaling behavior?
Does not define XCK.
So that means it doesn't show the scaling.
Define XCK as a, you see XCK as a function of J prime. But you don't, you don't, correlation are unable to measure for a chain of length n how long is CK. So the size of the Kondo cloud. You know that there is a Kondo cloud, but you don't know its size. In fact, to find the size of the Kondo cloud is a big, let's say, big business in theoretical physics with quantum dots. There are several proposals to detect the size of the Kondo cloud.
So why do you think that is? Why is entanglement more a better?
I don't know the answer. It struck my attention, but I also because pick up negativity, for instance, that has been used in this is very difficult to compute it analytically, and it's also very difficult for a generic system, let's say, maybe non-Gaussian, see, to find the negativity in terms of the correlators. Okay? So I don't know. Yeah, it struck my attention, but I don't have an answer.
Is there any other question? Otherwise, let's thank the speaker once again.
You.